You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Chip and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light. So bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Hi, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, the internet's only movie podcast. I'm your host. I'm one of two hosts. My name's Eric D. Snyder. Over there, the other one, that's Jeff Bear.
Hello, everybody. I am Jeff Bear. I'm one of two hosts here at Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, brought to you by OneOfUs.net, the only one of us on the net, I think is how that works. And there we go. We're doing a show.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, it would just be my kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't have to stretch.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I am going to get the answer. He's almost at movie number 50 in his life. He's almost seen 50 movies.
You're talking about your son, Dylan.
Yes.
All right.
He's closing in on 4.5, but he's not quite there yet.
Okay.
He's almost at 50 movies. And I'm going to attempt...
How many... Tell me, before you go any further, how many of those almost 50, how many are Scorsese?
I don't know who that is that you're referring to. That's
he's
the
a,
only
hang up filmmaker.
There.
No, all right, sorry, go
what
on.
What kind of animation is he in?
Well, he was in Shark Tale.
That's right. Not one of his 50 or
no.
48 or whatever.
No.
I'm going to narrow it down, but my gut is saying right now... he just experienced like his greatest back-to-back,
yeah,
which was The Incredibles followed by the Lego Movie.
Oh.
Do you know The Incredibles really well?
Sure.
The first half of that movie is like domestic squabble.
Right.
And it's really like I had to over-explain. It is definitely the movie that I had to explain the most to him.
Yeah.
But that second half was just like insane adrenaline rush for him. He was more he's not frightened, so I can't use that word.
Okay.
But like he found that ball with the arms,
yeah,
really intense,
mm,
like more intense than Darth Vader kind of thing. And then the Lego Movie is full out
terrifying, just horrifying
obsession. Now when he watches it, because he's seen he's sick, so he's, mm-hmm, he's seen it like 4.5 times in the last 2 days. It's all he wants to watch. He sings Everything Is Awesome while he's building Legos in between like viewings. And his favorite is Wild Style. His second favorite is Benny the Astronaut, which is, I just think that's hilarious that those are his top two. He like, now when he's watching, he's like, Daddy, look, that guy is kind of like Lord Business. And it's like,
oh,
the Will Ferrell character. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, he's like piecing, every time he watches, he's piecing something new together, and it's awesome.
If I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is that the Lego Movie appeals to 4.5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
Speaking of children.
Go on.
The movie that we're reviewing on this week's episode, it's called Kong Skull Island. And I have my nephew. I mentioned him last week, my nephew Logan. That the movie was named after.
That's right. Yes.
He just turned 10, and my sister-in-law, rather, had asked if Kong Skull Island would be appropriate for a birthday party of 10-year-olds. And I told her I would let her know once I saw it, and having now seen it, I gotta say no.
Whoa, say, what?
It's a, here's the thing. I would be fine. I would go with Logan to see it, but I wouldn't... It's the kind of movie that other parents might not want their 10-year-olds to see. It gets pretty not frightening, obviously, because we're not frightened, but intense. It gets very intense with some of that PG-13 violence and people being torn apart and helicoptered and all kinds of things.
And there's some soldiers dealing with some things beyond just the big scary monsters, but a little emotional baggage left over from the war and whatnot. Hey, you know what we should do?
Huh?
We should talk about Kong's Skull Island.
Let's do it. First, I just want to let my sister-in-law know. No, I don't think you should let Logan with the birthday party. I think Logan should see it. I totally think Logan should see it, but you'll make someone else's parent will get mad.
Do you always speak directly to your sister-in-law when you do like the show? Is this how you communicate with her?
Because of the lawyers, we're only allowed to communicate via podcast.
I was thinking about doing this.
She knows why.
What? Hey Scott, I know you're listening. Hello. I was just thinking about doing that,
like SNL does with Trump.
Yeah.
Kong Skull Island. It's not really a reboot of the King Kong thing. It's set in the King Kong universe, I suppose. This character of King Kong, but you wouldn't call this like a reboot or a remake or anything really of the original King Kong.
Why wouldn't you call this a reboot?
I mean, I guess you can call it. Okay, I guess you can call it a reboot. You call it a reboot.
It would be a reboot because they don't talk about how there used to be a black and white King Kong that right. climbed up the Empire State Building.
Right. I kind of wanted to do that when they saw the big ape, be like, oh man, it's just like that King Kong movie.
you guys remember like 40 years ago, there was a rumor. Yeah. So this, takes this place is in like the early 70s.
1973 specifically.
And if you didn't know that, you just listen to the soundtrack and then there's your answer right there.
All your Creedence Clearwater Revival, your David Bowie Ziggy Stardust. What else was there? Go Ask Alice. What is that? White Rabbit? Is that what it's called by Jefferson?
Yeah.
Whoever.
Airplane Starship.
One of those. All your basic early 70s rock needle drops. They're all here on the soundtrack. I said this to you afterward, and I'll tell the audience as well. You could probably convince me without much trouble that this movie used the same soundtrack as Suicide Squad.
Yes.
It would not be hard to convince me of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, 1973.
So before 73, there was an earlier thing from 1944 where, and the only thing that's important here is you get a glimpse of the beast. There's many times in these big spectacle movies, whether it's Godzilla, whether it's King Kong, whether it's Pacific Rim, whatever the case may be, where they tease out and you don't know when you're finally going to see the beast that you've just paid to see. You get a taste for it right away.
There's no teasing here.
There isn't. And then after we meet character after character after character after character after character, and then we get to the island, the thing that's really – this movie does really well is it's like, bam, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't wait. We don't explore. We don't wonder where we're going to get a nibble of him here and like maybe see a poop dropping and then somebody's like, that's not the normal size of a like blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's like,
right.
boom, we got it.
Right. They're not coy about showing Kong. And it's an expedition that's sent by the government. It's partly to map this island. New satellite technology has shown this island now that they haven't been able to get to before. And then also you got John Goodman as part of a looking for Bigfoot kind of government kind of thing, maybe sort of.
Yeah, maybe.
Something.
Maybe we don't know fully. We know that he's slightly hiding something with his desire to get to the island.
And he's very motivated to get to this island and see what's there. And so they have to get a military escort. So they stop by Vietnam because we got the war happening over there. So we got soldiers nearby. So they stop by there, pick up Samuel L. Jackson and a bunch of helicopter pilots to escort them to the island.
Finally answers that question, war, what is it good for? Picking up soldiers to go visit King Kong's island.
Go to your monster island, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Brie Larson is a photographer. She's along to photograph, being a photographer and all.
Did you notice there was one toss-away line where she was like, yeah, I'm going. And everybody's like, why are you doing this? Like, you should be doing other stuff. You're really good.
Yeah.
And she's like, because I got three different answers why I shouldn't do this. Or like, it was some weird toss-away line where it's like,
well, they asked her, asking what was she doing, just going on an ordinary surveying, you know, take pictures of land and stuff. And she was like, because she got three different, or whatever she said about the explanation for what it was really all about. She thinks there's something more going on than just a survey.
Yeah, but from who?
I don't know. Whoever asked her to go.
But why did they ask her to go?
I don't know. Well, cause I think you got to have – I don't know. I didn't write the movie. Three nobodies did.
You can't have a soldier taking pictures?
I don't know.
It's just an odd little inclusion.
So there's a bunch of people on the island going to this island, and they get there and immediately,
we haven't even given who's potentially top billing here.
Oh, Tom Hiddleston.
Which, I mean, this is after a while with this movie, I was like, who could we have removed? Because there is a lot of characters going on here.
I didn't feel like there were any more characters that we were supposed to be interested in than any other movie of this size in particular.
Mm, okay. I thought it was maybe it was because a few of the early fight sequences, you couldn't tell who exactly was being
knocked off. And then a bunch get killed off right away.
Right.
They sent a bunch of red shirts. So that's great.
And I have to say, I felt like Tom, who plays James Conrad here.
He's a tracker. He's the best in the business.
Almost pointless.
Yeah.
Like a couple times he does things like this. If you just keep going that way, we'll catch up to you later. Otherwise, like his whole thing, whatever his essence is supposed to be, like leading heroic man or whatever, it's kind of lost on me.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He doesn't do a whole lot tracker-wise.
Thank you.
He winds up being necessary to be the counterpart to Samuel L. Jackson, who goes a little bit cuckoo. Because having lost Vietnam, he's kind of bitter about that. And so now Skull Island, once some of his fellow soldiers get picked off by Kong, then now Samuel Jackson's all about revenge. Let's kill this giant ape.
I'm not going to lose this battle.
Killed my soldiers, yeah. And he goes, you could say he goes a bit too far with that. He's a little too intent on getting revenge on the giant monkey. Because here, an issue that I kind of had was that right as soon as they get there, and the first time they see Kong, Kong is swatting helicopters out of the air.
It's a great looking
sequence.
Oh, it's
terrific. Oh, there's this bit where there's a fixed point of view with the camera inside the helicopter, and we only see what they're seeing. And it's a great, terrific sequence, and it's horrifying sometimes.
It really is.
Very, very well done.
Great scope is captured here. Like, you feel the space that is being fought on and everything. It's just great.
So Kong is swatting helicopters out of the air because he's never seen helicopters before, probably, and he's scared because it's what he does. And so immediately, though, everybody, and this is everyone, the geology people, the government people, the scientists, the military, the photographer, everyone's like, all right, kill him! Like, everybody is immediately on board with, oh, well, let's open fire on this thing. And I was very surprised that there was no one, even a throwaway, wait, he's just defending himself, or wait, we're on his territory. And later on, there's some of that. But right from the beginning, when he did the understandable thing of hitting a helicopter, like, instead of just getting out of his way, everyone's immediate decision is to kill it. And so right away, I'm like, well, you people get what you deserve then.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the one character that, you know, gets what he deserves in that essence is Samuel Jackson, because he's war crazy.
He winds up being the symbol of that attitude. And eventually others come to be part of nature. But from the beginning, right from the get-go, they all are totally on board with a minor provocation and like, all right, we'll kill him. That's our excuse. Let's light him up. And I felt bad for Kong. He's just doing – the whole movie is about people trying to punish nature for being nature.
Yeah, because when other creatures show up, it is kill, kill, kill. And some of it is defending, but
– yeah, some of it feels like a little justified, but a lot of it is just sort of – we're being awfully rude here to just barge in.
And it makes sense for some of the military to feel that way. And some of the military, it would be nice if they would question it right away.
A lot of people, that's why you join the military, because you enjoy doing that sort of thing.
But the scientists don't really step it up a notch and intervene.
Yeah, there's a biologist and a geologist. I'm sure the characters have names, but that's just how they're identified. And they show no interest in the new animals that they're discovering, or very little interest. Very little scientific interest. Oh, and the other thing that we should mention, that when they first get there to the island, they're dropping seismic bombs to shake up the earth so they can get geology readings. So the first thing they do is, once they get to the island, they start dropping bombs. And so, yeah, no wonder you've annoyed the giant ape that lives there.
But guess what? Hmm. There's a breath of fresh air coming, and his name is John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly is an old pilot who's been on this island for some time.
And thankfully, it is just kind of good, wacky John C. Reilly. It feels like ad libs.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who knows? It's great if it was a written character, but otherwise, it's just toss away lines about, hey, what's going on in the world today?
Right.
And stuff like that. And it is a nice icebreaker.
It's funny. And
the monotony of the either the hunt or the we've got to get to position A.
I don't think any of that was monotonous particularly, because all the action stuff, all the fighting with monsters and everything, all that is great. Oh, there's a giant spider too. There's lots of things. All of that is great. And I didn't feel like there was so much stuff in between that was uninteresting. Some of the soldiers kind of all blend together. The business needed to go back and get the one soldier who'd been separated.
Yeah.
I didn't care about that. But I didn't feel like it attracted too much from the main goings on. But it was John C. Reilly was a nice comic relief.
Hang on. What about the time that the movie dedicated to getting a boat to work? Like these are things that we don't need
that
to watch
much time
them.
On getting the boat work.
No, but it's minutes that it's just not needed. Like I don't
minutes.
Need to, I don't just... need to wonder. It's not that's not true. It was minutes.
Minutes because of working on the boat.
It was minutes of like we got to get this thing working. Will this thing work? I don't know if this will thing work. And then they like got to work on it for a while, and then they get it to work, and it's like of course the boat's going to work. Move it along.
I didn't feel like that was wasting time.
All right.
What else?
People die.
A lot of people die. That's great. There's enough people. They've got enough people on board that you can have them die, and you know there's enough dead weight you can kill people off.
And I do have to say, Kong looks good, and the most important thing, you feel the weight.
Right.
There's a lot of times in a movie, in fact, that we might be discussing next week. There's sometimes where a CGI character doesn't feel like their imprint is as impactful as it should be. And that wasn't the case with Kong in this movie. It looked really good.
Yeah, it looks good and enough. You know, this isn't the whole King Kong story, which is why it's not a remake. They don't take him back to New York. This is all just on the island. So there's not really a counterpart with the damsel in distress. A little bit Brie Larson does some of that.
Just
enough sort of an homage to in a King Kong movie, you got to have a girl that he kind of gets a crush on. That's sort of the idea. So but, and
it,
she
it really
fulfills
did
that.
Feel like they were checking the box there.
Yeah. But she's really nice. I like their moments together. Briefly they are.
Wait.
What?
Was there caring? Did you care?
About
just about anything.
Who?
Did you care?
I mean, I got to where I liked King Kong. Oh, that was the other thing. John C. Reilly's use is he explains to us. He's been hanging out with the natives on this island. He explains to us all the backstory on Kong and all that, all their legend about him.
Very convenient. Mm-hmm.
There's also a very conveniently regurgitated dog tag. A dog tag is regurgitated at a very convenient time and place.
Yes, it does help move the plot along a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's great, but overall, I'm more positive than negative. I had very few issues with this movie.
No. And again, the action is good. I just felt like I left with a lack of caring. Like I was like, oh, thank goodness this happened or that happened.
Yeah.
But I was always interested. And it looks good. And that's about it. And thank goodness for some comic relief here and there, whether it was just a hint of John Goodman in the beginning, and then John C. Reilly coming in.
I give Kong Skull Island a B.
I'm just a tiny bit lower than you. I'm giving it a 6 out of 10.
This director Jordan Vogt Roberts only made that he made the other film,
the Kings of Summer back in 2013. You saw it at a film festival, correct?
Yeah, it was a Sundance movie. Yeah, very charming. Pre-adolescent boys hanging out in the summertime in the woods.
Yeah, you liked it a little bit more than me. Was that the same? Is that the same kid that was one of the soldiers in this movie?
Possibly.
I can't. Nick. I am getting them all.
Confused. Oh no, you're
no,
not.
No,
no,
I don't think so.
I know who you're thinking of. No, not him.
Yeah. Not him.
And so now this, and he goes pretty much straight from that on the strength of that Kings of Summer. He got Kong Skull Island, and there's that's a trend. That's a trend lately.
It's like, oh, you did a tiny little indie. Let's go ahead and give you $100 million, $200 million. Yeah.
David Lowry did it where you went from whatever his small films had been to Pete's Dragon last year.
The guy that did Jurassic World came from, oh God, what the heck did he do? He did that
Colin Trevorrow, that's the director's name. Safety not guaranteed.
Safety not guaranteed,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think whoever's directing the new Power Rangers movie, same thing. Like, there's a lot of this going on of people, not people, men, of guys, doing very small-scale indie films and then getting these giant projects next. So, you know, good for them. Don't screw it up. Same thing with the Godzilla guy. Had made the previously the smaller thing.
Gareth, what's his name? This is terrible.
Either Edwards, not a Gareth Evans. There's also Gareth Evans. Gareth Edwards is The Raid. Gareth Edwards is Godzilla. And before that, he'd done Monsters, which was like all of talked about Monsters, didn't really show them. It was the small. Oh, anyway. And now a word from our sponsor.
Do you know how sexy it is to produce Movie BS with Bear and Snyder?
No, tell me more.
You need bandwidth, microphones, the internet.
Go on.
Plus, there's time. Time to see the movies and record and edit the show so it sounds like Jeff and Eric know what they're talking about.
That is sexy. Can I give that show a dollar?
Sure. Go to moviebs.com and click the Patreon link. It's like stuffing a dollar bill down the podcast's pants.
Oh, yeah.
And now, back to the show. Pretty light week as far as wide releases go. I guess everyone gets out of the way of Kong.
Makes sense.
Yeah. As John C. Reilly says, Kong, he's king around here. And then I wanted to say, King Kong, you might call him.
Is this thing on? Hello?
On DVD, new on DVD this week, Jackie with Natalie Portman.
Guess how much money Jackie made at the box office.
Because
you and I don't talk about this very often. We don't talk about box office. So it's not like this isn't our forte, unless it's the summer, and it's just an opening weekend.
Yeah. You know, I think it didn't do very well. I would say like $10
million. No, you're ridiculous. It made $13.8
million. Mm. Yeah.
You were off by $3,800,000. That's so much money, Eric. So much money.
That is a lot of money. Yeah, that was surprising that it didn't do... Because she's so great in it. It's so well made.
I think she should have won Best Actress.
You should see Jackie. I'm glad she didn't because she wasn't there. I think you need to be present to win.
Well, actually, I wish Viola Davis had won for Best Actress. But anyway.
She was nominated for Best Supporting. Right.
Ugh.
You know, a lot of people think that the secret to Viola Davis's success is her passion. But it's not. See what I did there?
What's nice about that? It doesn't translate on Twitter.
Not really.
Yeah.
Moana also is out on DVD. Jackie and Moana, two very strong women taking charge of difficult situations.
Yeah.
Both with songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm just treading water for a little bit while you get through this, Eric. Jackie is fantastic, and you didn't see it in the theater. I'm talking to you who's listening right now. You didn't see it in the theater.
Right.
See it on your small screen because mm-hmm. that's where I actually saw it, and I think it was fantastic. Really moving, great overall cast. Great music.
Oh, you are talking about – are you talking about Jackie or Moana?
I'm talking about Jackie.
Jackie. Okay. All right. All right.
I actually did see – I saw Moana at home as well. Did you see Moana in the theater?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw it.
I'm actually a movie critic.
Oh, go on.
Jackie, you didn't like the music in Jackie at first. You came around on it?
At first. At first as in when the movie started.
Oh, I thought even after you had watched it, you were still
– No. Okay. By the end of it, I was like into it.
Jackie, good. Yeah, good music. And Moana, also. Good movie. Good music. And that's pretty much it, as far as that goes.
Is there anything else on DVD?
Well, there's a few other things. There was.
Just give me one more.
Did you see the brand new Testament at Fantastic Fest? Maybe last year or the year before? It was a comedy where...
You love it. Do you love it? Love this movie.
It was very funny.
You gave it an A-.
Brand new Testament?
Is that right? I'm just saying. I don't know if I gave it a grade,
but it was very funny. And it's God is a grumpy man who lives in an apartment with his wife and daughter. And the daughter, to rebel against her dad, accesses the database that tells everybody when they're going to die, and she sends text messages to everyone in the world to tell them when they're going to die. Burns things into havoc. And okay. So she decides to follow the footsteps of her brother Jesus and go to Earth. And it's very funny and satirical. And yeah, Brand New Testament. It's on DVD now. Check it out.
Oh, it's on DVD now. Okay.
Yes.
Is it on? Okay. So like not VOD.
No. Yeah. No. It came out on DVD this week.
So like I'd have to go to a video store to get it? How does this even work?
One of your more adventurous video stores. Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing Redbox, I bet, doesn't have. That's what I mean about Redbox.
But I bet iTunes does.
iTunes, yes, you can.
But maybe it's one of those where you're like, nope, you can only buy it for $8. You know what I was thinking about with iTunes?
Hmm.
I tweeted about this, so like the world already knows,
right?
Why in the world is there not a feature for iTunes that if you rent a movie, mm-hmm. you have blank amount of days to get a blank amount of discount to buy that movie? So, like, typical rentals on iTunes are $4.
Right.
Let's just say the movie's $14. You have 1 week to buy the rest of it for $10.
That's a good idea.
I would be – like, they would have so much more of my money. They would have money for Wizard of Oz because I just rented Wizard of Oz, and now Dylan's talking about watching Wizard of Oz again, and I totally didn't see that coming for some stupid reason,
yeah.
And I would go ahead and buy it.
Well, you could probably – you could. I mean, that's the thing with kids' movies especially. It's a pretty safe mm-hmm. bet.
Yes. It's like you want to see if the kid will get sucked in. And if he is sucked in, then you want to buy that for him.
Yeah. Yeah. You do? You don't think, oh, I better not bring this into the house or I'll get sick of it.
Well, no, it depends. I mean, Wizard of Oz, of course. Go ahead.
Well, then that makes me think, why not? Why didn't you just buy it in the first place? It's the Wizard of Oz. Why wouldn't you own the Wizard of Oz?
I think it actually might have been $20. I think that was the thing with Wizard of Oz. I was like, really? $20 to buy it?
Get out of here.
I think that's what
it was. It's on TV every year. Just tape it off TV next time they show it on TV.
Just tape it. I'll tape it.
Tape it off TV. Make sure just cut out the commercials.
I'm just saying iTunes, do this. You don't even have to give me $100 million, even though it's probably like a $100 million idea. You don't have to do that. Just do the idea. What were we talking about before that?
There must be a thing with royalties and the rights and all that where selling a rental is different from selling a sale. There must be something.
You know what? They can figure it out.
Well, I agree. I agree they can figure it out. We were talking about DVDs out this week. And Brand New Testament was one. And Jackie and Moana. And it's pretty much it that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Well, that brings us to the end of a bit of a shorter show this week. The size of the show expands and contracts with us. This week, we're on a narrower cycle.
Next week, it's going to be a 4.5-hour show, so get ready. Comfy.
To recap, Kong Skull Island is okay. I liked it more than you did, but it's good.
Yeah, and it because of the special effects spectacle, even though I gave it a 6 out of 10, big screen is still totally fine. If you want to do it,
For sure.
Yeah.
Remember when everything used to be in 3D? What a nightmare that was.
I know. This is the kind of movie...
I was surprised.
When I was driving to the theater, I was like, oh, I bet this is in 3D.
Yeah, no, it was not. Not for us, anyway. Lucky us.
The window is closing on the three dimensions.
Check us out on Twitter at MovieBS, and I'm on Twitter as Eric D. Snyder.
And I'm on Twitter as Bayer Jeff. You see what I did there?
Like your name, but backwards.
That's right.
And so until next week, for MovieBS with Bayer and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bayer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.